Are you ready to uplevel the power of your own mind? Because if you are, you will want to join us at the Amplify Your Mind Masterclass. It is a two-day program where transformation meets action. You will discover how your unconscious mind shapes your thoughts, your actions, and your success. And you'll learn the three principles and how thoughts and mind and consciousness are impacting your entire life. We take you through two different hypnotic inductions for an incredibly relaxing experience, one on each day. And past students have said they learned more in these 2 days than they did in a 6-month life coaching course. So if you want to uplevel your mind and do it with extreme efficiency, join us. No fluff, no guesswork, just real results. I will put the link in the show notes, and I'm gifting to my audience a massive promo code for our April class on April 15th and 16th. Using the code GIFT47, you will receive this class for literally that price, $47, for 2 days of personal growth, empowerment, and transformation. See you there. Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness. And yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I am Melissa Dealey, your host, and very excited to share with you today another fabulous guest, Heather Allmendinger. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me.
I am excited to have you today and to just bring this topic of conversation to the show because I haven't talked specifically about embracing flow. And I know you have your Embracing Flow podcast yourself. And so let me just introduce you to the audience. Heather is a triple certified health coach, certified fertility awareness educator, international speaker, best-selling author, and proud pageant title holder, currently serving as USOA Miss Berks County 2025. As the founder of Vividus, the Full of Life company, and the host of Embracing Flow podcast, she is dedicated to revolutionizing menstrual health education. Through her work, she empowers women and teens with knowledge about cyclical living, body literacy, and well-being. Heather, I love that you have chosen this path because I'm completely in alignment with the need for this education. Education in grade 4 at school about puberty, and then that's it for the rest of your life, isn't enough. And so
no,
I would
it's not.
love to,
It really isn't.
I'd love to ask you to share, how did you come to being in this line of work?
It has been a journey. As a teen, I actually dreaded my period. It was horrible. It was painful. It was heavy. It came with nausea. So intense that I would end up in the school nurse's office every single month. My mom would get the phone call, hey, you need to come pick up Heather. She's vomiting again. And my mom would be just like, ah, give her Tylenol. And to help with this, I was prescribed birth control, you know, that fix all the symptoms that no one really explained. And over the years, I tried Depo, I tried IUDs. I still struggled all physically, emotionally, hormonally. With that, I finally got things kind of situated. I got pregnant with my first son, which was really, really easy and smooth. I then faced unexplained infertility in my 30s, had gestational diabetes. I eventually asked my doctor about a hysterectomy, feeling like I had really run out of options with this whole thing. Everything kind of paused when I was diagnosed with HPV and had cervical lesions. So I was looking at precancerous cells on my cervix, which was definitely that wake-up call. And then I started learning about cyclical living. And what began as helping others to try to conceive and helping my body became that personal healing journey. I had earned 3 health coaching certifications by that point. And because I was so passionate about helping others not have the journey that I had, I completed a certification in fertility education and through FEM, which is Fertility Education and Medical Management. Everything then kind of started changing, and I just love to help young women, women, and youth reconnect with their bodies to transform their health through cycle education, because it's time we stop fearing our biology and start to really understand it.
Absolutely. I agree fully. And not only that, I was at a conference this past weekend with the Seroptimists, which is an organization of women helping educate and empower women. And one of the conversations that they were having was about period poverty as well, which is a spin-off of what you're sharing. This is about the women who don't have the funds in order to be able to access menstrual supplies, etc. And again, just stop fearing our bodies. Stop thinking that this is something that has to be pushed down, not talked about, and shut off from society. Whereas, you know, we talk about toilet paper and hand soap and other supplies that we need in washrooms for natural bodily functions of men and women. Why aren't we talking about supplies for our menstrual cycle? And again, being able to talk about this throughout all levels of society and not keep it hush-hushed and one class in elementary school. That's at least what I got. Perhaps it's improved since my day in elementary school.
From what I heard, it's gotten a little bit better. I had that elementary school talk, and then junior in high school. And as a sophomore, he did say that they did go into a little bit more biology mm-hmm. and understanding cycles a little bit better. But it's still missing. We still really don't understand how our bodies work. We have symptoms and we're given the fix-all hormonal birth control. We're told our periods are just to reproduce. And it is so much more than just reproduction. It is literally a doctor's visit every single month. It is connected. Our reproductive system is connected to the other 10 bodily systems. So it's connected to our respiratory system, our bone, our skeletal system, our endocrine system. It is a very important part of our well-being.
Absolutely. And as you say, so often we're just given that band-aid approach, right? Where education about how our body functions and the interconnectedness of it is what allows us to live in that place of natural health. Because as you said, it's a doctor's visit every single month. So talk to me about menstrual cycle literacy and what you would like to share here on this podcast in regards to educating the world that is a thing.
Basically, it's understanding how our cycle impacts our entire body. It's understanding how, again, it's beyond reproduction. As we were told in elementary school, it is a hormonal routine our body goes through with highs and lows of hormones that align. There are 12 hormones involved with our cycle. It's not just the typical estrogen, progesterone. It is a symphony. And when you understand what hormones are involved, how they impact your entire body, you can actually use your cycle, whether you're new to cycles, in the middle of your reproductive years, in perimenopause or even menopause, you never lose your cycle. You lose the outward bleeding, but you never lose your cycle from the time it starts. And you can use that as a production tool. You can use your energy flows to schedule out your weeks, your month, and your year in flow with your cycle, giving yourself permission to nap during menstruation, giving yourself permission to slow down and do the bare bones basics. So that way you can continue to excel in other phases of your menstrual cycle, because it's not just when you bleed. It is a healthy cycle can be considered, or a standard cycle, I call it, is 24 to 36 days. And how long your cycle is can tell me how your hormones are aligning and how they're working. If your cycle, as I said before, is a doctor's visit every single month, it can tell you if you are becoming insulin resistant. It can tell you if your thyroid is starting to malfunction. It's your hair can tell you along with your cycle. It is amazing what is all connected, and how I can go on for hours and hours and hours about this topic, obviously. But it's the big thing is just understanding it is a very important part. And by understanding your body and your unique cycle, because everybody's cycle is different, you and your friends could all have a 28-day cycle. But I could ovulate on day 14. My friend can ovulate on day 10. My other friend can ovulate on day 18. So the whole, you ovulate in the middle of your cycle is sort of a fallacy, along with you can get pregnant anytime during your cycle. That, in the grand scheme of things, to make it easy, is somewhat true. But again, it's knowing your unique cycle, your unique body, your composition, to understand what your body is trying to communicate with you, because it does communicate with you every single day through biomarkers.
And it communicates with you in other ways as well. And one of the fallacies that I always talk about is PMS. If you walk through any high school hallway, there will be girls talking about PMS, almost as if it's a rite of passage, as opposed to recognizing that it's actually your body's way of talking to you and letting you know that things are out of balance, because we're not supposed to have PMS every single month.
Nope.
So let's take the conversation that way, because I think that's a really important educational piece for people and youth to realize, because I think society has programmed girls to think that PMS is normal, and then we put up with the discomfort, et cetera, et cetera. And perhaps not as extreme as yours. However, we literally tolerate it because we think it's normal when it isn't.
It is considered normal, although, as you said, it is our body's way of saying something is out of alignment. That's, in an essence, kind of where I bring cyclical living into it. You can bring foods. It's your body can only do so much with what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Your hormones are made from cholesterol. So if estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, testosterone, a lot of the reproductive hormones are made from cholesterol, which means you need to intake healthy fat. And what happens then is stress determines what's made. And if you find that your body's craving, like PMS, I remember in high school, chocolate brownie with chips every single month. And I never correlated that this was PMS for me, in addition to a lot of the other mood swings and everything. But it was my body saying, you need dark chocolate because you're missing magnesium. Those PMS symptoms are your body's way of saying, I need something. Or it's saying, you know what, something's not, your progesterone and your estrogen's too high, there's three different types of estrogen. There's E2, which we need to get rid of every single month. So fiber is a big thing. High protein, especially to get help with that PMS area. Magnesium, B12. If you're experiencing PMS, those things will help. Fiber, magnesium, B12, and protein will definitely help reduce those PMS. That PMS, because it impacts our brains. The hormones impact how our brain functions. So we're not going crazy when we can't think of words. In that time between ovulation and menstruation, where PMS shows up, you may also see imposter syndrome, where you're wondering, okay, how did I get here? Why did I get that award? Did I really earn that award? Yes, you did. This is your brain being a little
quirky.
Yes, because of the hormones. But again, if you incorporate different foods, sometimes it's seeds, sometimes it's appropriate exercise, different exercises, it will help minimize that PMS, because you do not have to have PMS every single month. I thought you did. I'm actually, my PMS is minimal, which the other fallacy is painful periods. Periods are designed to be pain-free. I mean, I just want to repeat that so that way everybody heard. Periods are designed to be pain-free. If you're having pain during menstruation, and more than mild pain, it could be that your estrogen's too high. It could be that your prostaglandins production is too high, which is kind of a pseudo-hormone that helps contract the uterus, which causes the pain with cramping in your cycle. Things that you do on a daily basis can throw that alignment off. Fatty foods close to your cycle. So the greasy foods, caffeine. Yes, caffeine can help with the cramping and reduce it. But if you minimize the caffeine prior to when PMS starts showing up, it could actually improve your period. So that way they're not as painful. Sugar is another one that can improve, that can really impact your cramping. My periods, if I have my periods are now pain-free. They are regular and I love it. I know if I have heavy cramping or even mild, moderate cramping, there was something that happened during the last 30 days. If you look at what you ate, look at what your stress level was, look if you were sick, your body, you can see what may have contributed to that painful cycle. It's a beautiful thing when you look at the patterns and how your body can communicate with this system that we've been taught is just for reproduction. And it is so, so, so much more than that.
And to be fair, not a lot of medical research was ever done on women because we were too complicated because of our menstrual cycle and the fact of all the interconnectedness with all of the other systems. And so, you know, so much medical research has been done on men and very little on women, which is why it's not in the medical textbooks. It's not there to teach doctors, to teach at school, etc. And it's diving deep into courses that are available today, such as you have done, that is allowing this deeper knowledge. And I love that you talk about food because, of course, food impacts all aspects of our life. And you also mentioned stress, and that is a key piece as well because we have the progesterone steal happening as well under high stress. And that's when our body is in chronic fight or flight. And let's face it, you know, most of society is these days. It's all about do, 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 go, go, go. Whether you're at high school, it's one more thing you got to get done. Whether you're in, you know, out there in the corporate world, whether you're, you know, raising children, life feels stressful and our brain doesn't know the difference between are we being chased by a lion or is it the spat that we had with our partner or our boss demanding one more thing or one more thing being added to our homework at high school or a test being put on as a surprise for tomorrow. The brain doesn't know the difference. And so we just keep getting stuck in this chronic stress state, fight or flight. And so the body has to produce more cortisol and adrenaline in order for us to be able to escape.
Yep. And it
Go ahead.
It throws off the estrogen and progesterone. And I was in the trying to conceive world for a little bit because initially what I wanted to do was to work with those that were the 3 months prior to pregnancy to kind of really give them the support that they needed for healthy egg development and a good start foundation for pregnancy, and also to help them through pregnancy. Because as much as we hear pregnancy is a beautiful thing, it's very confusing. It's why can't we eat this? Why can't we do this? Why are my hips expanding so much? How can I be this flexible? Why am I this flexible? So I wanted to work with that group, and I got into the trying to conceive world to start that journey. And I had individuals fight me about stress. And I was like, okay. Because I'm like, it doesn't impact fertility.
Wow.
I was like, yes, it does. Here's why. But then I sat and I did a video and I said, okay, I want you to think about how you are now. Find a quiet spot. How do you feel now? And I said, okay, then find your happy place. Where is your happy place that you can just sit and relax and everything? Nothing's bothering you. It's like you can just feel everything just drain out of your body. And for me, it's an infinity tub, a nice warm infinity tub that I'm up in warm water up to my neck, and it's just warm water. The old water's cascading out, the warm water's pouring in. I'm just constantly in this warm tub of water.
Nice. For me, it's my paddleboard in summer, or it's on my skis in the winter.
And then I equated it to, okay, so now I'm relaxed and I hear a knock at the door. That somebody has to use the restroom because this is the only bathroom in the house. Or somebody has a question. And it's, and then every time I'm interrupted, it's another, like,
yep.
Slightly, it's how do you feel when you get into your car at the end of the day to get down the road and find a traffic jam? And all you want to do is get home. And finally, I thought about this, and if you think about a rubber band and how when you hold a rubber band, it's very loose, it's flappy, it has really very little structure. But then you take that rubber band with some and you give it a single twist. Yep, just give it a single twist. It's still flexible, it's still stretchy, it's moving. And that's a little bit of stress. And then you twist it again, and that's another little stressor. And you twist it again, and that's another, your rubber band's getting tighter and tighter. It's losing that elasticity until the point where it is so twisted, it starts getting knots and you can't do anything else. And that is your body. The tighter it is wound, the more the cortisol is spiking, your estrogen's being removed, your progesterone is all being replaced because your body thinks it's got to do something. And it wants to unwind and be flexible again, but it is in that knot, and we need to release that knot. And if it's getting rid of something temporarily, it's getting rid of something temporarily. Again, if you're not quite sure where you are, just think of your day. Think of how you feel when it's 5 minutes until it's time to leave your work. And even though you may love your job or whatever you were doing, you're ready to step out and do something fun that you want to do. And something happens that you can't stay there or you can't get to where you're going. Just check in with your body to see how that feels, because it's a small step towards stress. It's a small stressor. And when you keep having those small stressors, you become tighter and tighter and tighter, and we need to release that. And that's why it feels so good to go to our happy places.
Absolutely.
We don't want to leave because we want to stay in our happy, happy place. And that's kind of where self-care kind of comes into a play, and adding that back into our days. I keep hearing the old adage is self-care is selfish. No, it's you taking care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, and I have experienced this and I've seen it happen, if you choose to ignore yourself, your body eventually will say, you've forgotten me enough. now it's time to pay attention and I'm going to knock you on your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to pay attention to me.
Yep. I always say the body always gets what it wants.
Yep.
And it will lay you flat if it isn't getting the rest that it's been asking for.
Yep. And it's, I talk about those four pillars of health. We talked about nutrition, stress, sleep is another big one, because that's your body's way of rejuvenating, especially in that deep, deep sleep. The other one is appropriate exercise. We have gotten into it, maybe not as bad as the 80s, where it was all cardio and everything else, but we've gotten into a state, maybe we're at the opposite end, where we don't exercise enough, but there are some that exercise too much, especially for those that are in perimenopause and menopause era. And we're wondering, where is this weight coming from? I'm gonna go run for 45 minutes, or I walk for 5 miles, and I do a yoga class and I do weightlifting, and I look at him like, and that's all in a day. I'm like, sweetheart, you're working, you're exercising too much. And they look at me with that deer in the headlight, like, what are you talking about? As we age, we need exercise. We don't necessarily need it. It doesn't have to be 45 minutes. It can be 15 minutes. It can be 10 minutes of walking outside, enjoying the sunlight, enjoying the birds. That is sometimes just as beneficial as a 45 minute HIIT workout.
Because and also doing it just adds more stress on the system.
And also doing it in the appropriate area of your cycle. Even in perimenopause, if you don't know exactly where you are, you can kind of figure it out. Just check in with your body. Your body will say, if you go for that HIIT workout and you're just not hitting those moves like you were 2-3 days ago, all right, you might be in your luteal phase. If you're looking and going, yeah, I want to go do a HIIT workout, and your body's like, no, I want to do yoga instead, a nice stretching yoga class, go for that.
That was me last week.
Yep. And it's understanding where you are and what exercises to do during different phases of that cycle for the remainder of your days. Menstruation's a great time to do those low impact. Just stretching on your sofa and not really moving is okay during menstruation. Follicular is when you're going to start wanting to do those more aggressive types of exercise routines. Ovulation, HIIT workouts, heavy weights, perfect. Luteal, start decreasing those weights, start going into the not so impactful exercises. But again, half hour tops. Or if you do an hour every other day, you don't need to do an hour every single day. If you do, again, your cortisol is going to go up, your estrogen and progesterone are going to get taken from, it's going to cause all sorts of things that you really don't want to happen. And then you're going to wonder, why is the weight not coming off? The scale's not moving. Your clothes are getting tighter. And it's the whole calories in, calories out changes in that era.
Absolutely. And I love how, you know, you've talked the whole gamut, and I want to take it back to, again, puberty and navigating puberty. And what message would you like to give to that age group of girls? Knowing where you came from and knowing what you know now, what would you like them to know today?
Your body is beautifully designed to work as a unit, as a whole. We are a symphony. And our reproductive system is part of that symphony. And by understanding the importance of how each body part plays a role in our symphony will allow us to be better friends, a better person, a better friend, a better partner, a better parent, a better leader, and a better coworker. Just by understanding that symphony that is in our body, and to understand that others have their own symphony, and it might be on a different register or a different key, but we all have our own symphonies.
Just like we all have our own fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the other end of the cycle, menopausal women, perimenopause, menopausal women, because that's always an area where I feel there's so much room for more education, because that's not even talked about in our grade four class. And society doesn't have a platform for teaching this. So what would you like to say to that group of women?
Perimenopause is puberty in reverse. And we blocked out those years as we were going through puberty because our hormones were going crazy. As we go through perimenopause and into menopause, it's actually the reverse of pre-puberty going into puberty. So it is your body changing. There is nothing wrong with you. It is your body transitioning into allowing you to be the wise woman that you are designed to be. What you're experiencing and what you have experienced, share with the next generation. Share with, if you have a granddaughter, or if you have a daughter who is getting ready to go into puberty or is already in puberty in reproductive years, share your knowledge of what you went through. Share the knowledge of what your friends have gone through, because it's going to help them understand what's going on in their body, but it will can also trigger what's going on in yours. Because I am in that perimenopause age, we're at the other end of the spectrum. We're at the other side of the bell curve. We're getting to the point where our hormones are getting ready to stay more consistent versus the ups and downs. And it is a beautiful, beautiful time to walk into when we work in harmony with our hormones, understanding that they are doing the best that they can, but they're changing. And we are becoming very wise women.
I love that. We are becoming very wise women. And I will proudly say I'm in that phase. And I was very fortunate to be able to go through menopause with the knowledge that I have, knowing that the symptoms of night sweats and hot flashes were, again, my body talking to me and showing me that something was out of balance. And so I was able to then adjust and figure out where my hormones were out of balance and rebalance them so that I didn't get worse and worse symptoms. I didn't tolerate it thinking I just have to live through this. I knew that I could do something about it. And I love that you help women of all ages through that. Now, speaking of all ages as well, or the younger end of all ages, I would love for you just to talk briefly about natural birth control. If you can do that briefly, that is. I know it's a big subject. However, I just want people to know that this is also a thing, and we don't have to just rely on prescription birth control, and that they can contact you later to learn more.
Yes, and I this is my happy place. Natural birth control, it is you really listening to your body. It is looking at, in the method that I teach and the method that I use is one that we look at cervical mucus and LH testing, which happens, your luteinizing hormone rises right before ovulation. So every day, it's a matter of tracking. It's a tracking everything. It's tracking symptoms, illness, but cervical mucus. We are only fertile for, in the grand scheme of things, 5 to 7 days out of your cycle. And I say that because sperm can live in highly estrogenic cervical mucus for 5 to 7 days in a prime uterus. Usually it's 1 to 3. Our egg, once it's ovulated from the ovary, is only able to accept sperm for 12 to 24 hours. That's it. She is a diva. I call her a diva. She shows up when she wants to. And your body's telling you when she's going to show up. But she does not let just anybody come visit her. And once she says, nope, she shuts that gate. She'll tell all of her little groupies, if they're there, go see my sister next month if you want to come visit. But natural birth control is just listening to your body, knowing when you're fertile and infertile, and being able to just track your cycle. For those that are in your teens, it's really just understanding what cervical mucus is, and to know when you're ovulating. That is my big, when I teach teens, we talk about ovulation and how that is the main focus of the menstrual cycle. When you ovulate, you have a healthy cycle. Overall, you have a healthy cycle. It's looking at that main event, understanding the biomarkers leading up to ovulation. And then once they're older, I get permission, then I talk about the whole family planning piece and how to work around whether you're trying to conceive or you're trying to prevent. But it's, again, listening to your body. It all goes back to your body's communicating to you. You just have to learn the language that it's communicating. And once you understand that language, it is so simple. It really is. I've had 50-day cycles, and I wasn't worried what was going on. I knew what was going on. And I see teens that they're, and I've seen adults, and they're like, oh my gosh, why is my period late? What did I do? What's going on? And they're taking tests. And I was like, just deep breath here. What's going on? What happened this past month? And when I explained to them, no, you're good. And here's why I believe that. Like, why weren't we taught this? It's really, again, going back to understanding our bodies and listening to that communication and understanding what's being communicated.
And I love that you're teaching this to teens, because once they learn it and get the hang of it and understand their own body, they have that knowledge and wisdom for the rest of their life. And that's so empowering. So thank you for the work that you do.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I know that you have a beautiful gift for the audience. However, before we talk about that, I want to ask you the question I ask all guests that come on the show. What does "don't wait for your wake-up call" mean to you?
To me, it goes back, kind of, I did wait for my wake-up call in a way. I didn't know what my body was telling me. I didn't know what was being communicated. I didn't always understand that if I don't take care of it, it's not going to get me to where I want to go. The one story that really kind of impacted me is, you have a car of your dreams, and it's the only car you'll ever have for the rest of your life. If you take care of it, it will last you a long time. But if you don't change the oil, you don't rotate the tires, you don't get it inspected or do the thing, wash it on a regular basis, it's going to fall apart. Once it starts to fall apart, it's going to take a lot more work to get that car or your body back to being as optimal as it possibly can be. And the sooner we realize that we have so much power and control over what happens to us in a way with our health and our wellness, by what we eat, how often we sleep, the amount of stress we allow in our lives, and the amount of exercise that we do, it's amazing how beautiful our lives can be and how abundant, how much abundance we have. So don't wait for that cup to get low and be stressed out and miss out or become sick and have to deal with an illness that you really don't want to have to deal with.
I love that. So yes, pay attention when your body's talking to you, when it's a little whisper, as opposed to hitting you over the head with a 2x4.
And I've had a lot of 2x4s. So I've had a lot.
And so you're helping others avoid them and giving them the shortcut. And yes, one of the ways that you're doing that is with your beautiful gift, what is Cyclical Living E-Guide. So if you can talk about that, and then it's in the show notes. However, also let people know how they can get hold of you if they would like to work with you.
The Cyclical Living E-Guide explains the four phases of the cycle, what the hormones are kind of doing in each phase, as well as what activities to kind of do, what scents your body may like, essential oils that may work for you, journal prompts that may help you through those phases, just getting an idea on how to start living in harmony with your body. That it's the overview of cyclical living and that e-guide. You can find me. I am on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, and LinkedIn are my three major ones. I do have my podcast, Embracing Flow, where we talk about menstruation and we talk about all things endometriosis, PCOS, autoimmune diseases, and how it's impacted with and linked to estrogen dominance. So that is another place that you can find a lot of information, and my website and my two books. But social media, definitely Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I have all of that in the show notes so people can go there and connect with you easily. Thank you so, so much, Heather, for being on the show and having this conversation. It's such an important conversation. You know, knowledge is power, right? And you didn't have the knowledge to navigate your journey. And now you're gifting that education to others in order to help them be able to navigate theirs. Is there any last words of wisdom or anything else you would like to share with the audience as we wrap up this episode?
Just a reminder that our reproductive system is a doctor's visit every single month. It tells you what is going on inside your body. And by understanding that system, it will allow you to be a better person, a better friend, a better partner, a better parent, a better coworker, and a better leader.
It's as simple as that. Understand your body and you can show up as your best version of yourself. Well said.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, Heather. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you to my audience for tuning in and listening every week, for caring enough about your health to actively learn more, because knowledge is power. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.